Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
to be overcome.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Amen. And you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah. Didn't we simply say, you deserve it? Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs.
Y'all got it now? Come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord, yeah.
All of the glory belongs.
Everybody, lift your hands right here and say, yeah. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
Father God, we remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, Comfort all who moan and bless those with financial needs. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. And that's all you have to do is to call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Jesus, some would ever see, and you're
He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Praise be to God. What would Jesus do?
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship.
Yes.
Let's pray.
Come on.
Lord.
Sing along. Oh.
Honor and glorify his name.
Oh, yeah.
Let's worship.
Yes.
Oh. And pray.
Everybody.
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh.
Amen. Praise be to God. Worship and praise. And now it is time for our devotional message, which is entitled, Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 in the New King James Version. And it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. And it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 59, verses 16 through 17. And it says, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O, my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title of the message is Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. As you take steps of faith depending on me, I will show you how much I can do for you. If you live your life too safely, you will never know the thrill of seeing me work through you. When I gave you my spirit, I empowered you to live beyond your natural abilities and strength. That's why it is so wrong to measure your energy level against the challenges ahead of you. The issue is not your strength, but mine, which is limitless. By walking close to me, you can accomplish my purposes in my strength. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. Amen. Praise God. Dear Lord, help us to be a woman or man of faith. Help us to remember that you are always near and that you can overcome any challenges. With your love and your power, Lord, we can live courageously and faithfully today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Amen. Praise God. You don't want to miss this message this evening. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed. You thought I was the devil.
Oh,
In 1 Peter 2:2, in the CSB Bible, says, like newborn infants, desire the unadulterated spiritual milk, so that you may grow by it in your salvation. And the title of this message is, Get to Know God's Book. As a spiritual being, you have the potentials to grow in your personal knowledge of the Lord every day that you live. Amen? And you can do so through prayer, through worship, through an openness to God's Holy Spirit, and through a careful study of God's holy word. Your Bible contains powerful prescriptions for everyday living. If you sincerely seek to walk with God, you should commit yourself to the thoughtful study of his teachings. The Bible can and should be your roadmap for every aspect of your life. Do you seek to establish a closer relationship with your Heavenly Father? Then study his word every day. With no exceptions, the Holy Bible is a priceless, one-of-a-kind gift from God. Treat it that way and read it that way. Don't worry about what you do not understand of the Bible. Worry about what you do understand and do not live by. The key to my understanding of the Bible is a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. The Bible is like no other book. Treat it that way. If your Bible is falling apart, chances are your life is staying together. And if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. Here's a thought. You are never too young or too old to become a big-time student of God's word. Romans 10:17 in the New King James Version says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Also, Psalms 12:6 in the New King James Version says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace. Psalms 119:105 in the CSB says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. On my path, praise God. And Matthew 5:6 from the New King James Version says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. So may the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Heavenly Father, your holy word is a light unto our path. In all that we do, help us to be a worthy witness for you as we share the good news of your perfect Son and your perfect word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. So at this time, again, I will play another selection, and at 7 p.m., I will come with a mighty word from God. Praise God.
Joy in my soul, God is in control. You say, you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, I plead. You gotta say, you can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your prayer, break out your word. You gonna break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Oh,
Concludes our sweet hour of prayer, and now we are going to go into our service at this time. So I will play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with our scripture reading for this evening. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. Victory today is mine. Hallelujah, Jesus. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from the book of Haggai, and that's chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Amen. And it says, this is dealing with the call to rebuild the temple. Praise God. On August end, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise God. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear, as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hope for the rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building on... Oh, my God. Hi, Val. I'm sorry, but I'm preaching now. I can't talk to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Amen. Yes, the devil is a liar. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hope for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens without the dew and the earth produces no crops, I will, no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. So God, in verses 3 through 6, God asked his people how they could live in luxury when his house was lying in ruins. The temple was the focal point of Judah's relationship with God, but it was still demolished. Instead of rebuilding the temple, the people put their energies into beautifying their own homes. However, the harder the people worked for themselves, the less they had. Because they ignored their spiritual lives, the same happens to us. If we put God first, he will provide for our deepest needs. But if we put him in any other place, all our efforts will be futile. Caring only for your physical needs while ignoring your relationship with God will lead to ruin. Amen. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be able to receive our offering without pain or embarrassment. We have been greatly loved by you. Our offerings are an expression of our love for you. If anyone has brought less than a gift of love, help him or her not to give it. We have come not to offer a tip to you for service rendered but an expression of our love. We give what love we can give, and so, dear brother, accept our lives as well as our gifts of money. Because we love you, Lord, what we bring with cheerful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. So following the World War II, hard-pressed congregations in Britain and Europe worshipped in bombed-out church buildings. 25 centuries earlier, the people of the restored community of Judah were living indoors, for they had rebuilt their own houses. But God was camping out in the ruins of the temple. And then the voice of a prophet rose and echoed over crumbling walls. In 536 B.C., 70 years after the first deportation to Babylon in 606 B.C., after 50,000 Jews returned to Judah led by Zerubbabel, who was of royal lineage, and Joshua, the high priest, this was primarily a religious pilgrimage. With the purpose of rebuilding the temple, it had laid in ruins since it was sacked and burned in the destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC. The people repaired the altar and laid the foundation with great rejoicing. But the harassment of the Samaritans, who also gave false reports to the Persian authorities, and the preoccupation of the people with their own affairs soon brought the work to a halt. Praise God. From Ezra 4:24-52, you have time to read those scriptures when you have the time, amen? And in Ezra 6:14-15, we learn that Haggai was associated with another prophet, Zechariah, and that these two inspired the return exiles to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. This was completed in 5 years, from 520 to 515 BC. Haggai and Zechariah had a limited but very specific objective. Simply to motivate the people to restore the temple. They achieved their goal. This book of only 2 chapters contains 4 messages from the prophet Haggai, dated for the exact month and day in the year 520 BC, which was 16 years after the end of the exile. There is also a brief historical interlude. The book of Haggai gives us the people's reaction to Haggai's preaching. It is a report in the third person, not by Haggai, but about him. Amen. So it wasn't about him. I mean, it wasn't him, but about him. Whoever this inspired writer may have been, he was both exact and clear. This prophecy is made up of 5 natural divisions. Amen? My text for this message is coming from Haggai chapter 1 verse 8, and it says, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And my title for this message is this: Haggai, Rebuilding the Temple. Tonight, my message is divided into 5 sections. Praise God. And where we read in Haggai 1:1-11, the first sermon. Now, after giving the exact date of the event, Haggai made a threefold appearance. He appeared to the mind in verses 2-4 that we just read. Amen? Though the appeal was to Zerubbabel and Joshua, it was through them to the people, who said, "Is not the time." God's answer came, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your cedar houses while this house lieth waste?" Their excuses did not add up. Amen. Praise God. In verses 5 through 7, he appeared to the heart. He said, consider your ways. God challenged. Despite much labor, there were scant harvests, little to eat and drink and wear. So God told them to consider why. Praise God. In verses 8 through 11, he appeared to the wells. God gave three clear imperatives. Go, bring, build. Amen. Those are the three imperatives that God gave. He explained the reason for this. God will take pleasure in it and be glorified by it. Amen? So there is a recapitation of the whole argument. Abundant sowing had resulted in meager reaping. And when the grain was in the gardener, God did blow upon it. Why? The answer was that they did not put first things first while God's house lay. They built elegant houses for themselves because they neglected to build God's house. Be withheld the dew and the rain. And this was for their sake. Drought brought disaster. They must blame themselves. Amen? How can you build your own houses and live luxuriously when God's house is in ruin? In chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, the historical interlude. Here, the writer gave five results of Hagar's first message. 1, in verse 12, the leaders and the people responded without obedience. Amen? So, obedience to God's call. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Hagar, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Amen. Also, in verse 12, the people felt fear. In verse 13, the prophet received encouragement. The Lord gave his approval. Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant. In verses 14 in the ASV Bible, the leaders and the prophet, excuse me, the leaders and the people responded with work in verse 15. Also in verse 15, the writer carefully dated these responses. Amen? And we read that early on. So in 14 and 15, the people began rebuilding the temple just 23 days after Haggai's first message. Rarely did a prophet's message produce such a quick response. How often we hear a sermon and respond. That was an excellent point. I ought to do that, only to lead church and forget to act. These people put their words into action. When you hear a good sermon or lesson, ask what you should do about it, and then make plans to put it into practice. Amen. Praise be to God. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, the second sermon. After the exact date of Haggai's second message was given and those to whom it was addressed were named. In verses 1 through 2, the prophet did three things, and these are the three things the prophet did. He recognized the difficulties in verse 3. Were there not some among them who had seen the temple of Solomon in all its glory? Did they not see the house being erected as nothing? In verses 4 through 5, he revealed their duty. Governor, priests, and people were required to be strong, to work, and to fear not. God gave them all the reassurance, I am with you. Amen. Praise God. In verses 6 through 9, he refuted their disparagement. This unveiling of the future utterly refuted those who were discouraging the builders by their backward looking. I will disturb the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will disturb all nations. This was a declaration that God was going to break in upon earth's history in a supernatural way. He was going to disturb the even tenor of the earth's way. The supreme reason for the result of this disturbing of the universe would be the advent of the desire of all nations. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And in this place I will give peace, saith Jehovah of hosts. And that's in the ASV Bible. The latter glory would be as much greater than the formal, as the reality is greater than the type. And the fact that the symbol God was unveiling something of his plan for the future to these builders. They were not to be discouraged. God's methods are progressive. Consequently, it was wrong to be hankers after things that were past. It was the uttermost folly, for there weren't to be greater things ahead. Those who walk with God never go backward, for he is ever moving on to glorious consummation. In chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, the third sermon. So let us read chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. Amen. And these are the blessings promised for obedience. On December the 18th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robe, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine or olive oil, or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priest replied, no. Then Haggai asked, if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by the touching a dead person and then touches any of these foods, will the food be defiled? And the priest answered, yes. Then Haggai responded, that is how it is with this people and this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. Look at what was happening to you before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. When you hoped for a 20 bushel crop, you harvest only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine's press, you found only 20. I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refused to return to me, says the Lord. Think about this 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Think carefully. I am giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. You have not yet harvested your grain and your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But from this day onward, I will bless you. To God be the glory. So the point of this message delivered in December 520 BC is that holiness will not rub off on others, but contamination will. As the people began to obey God, God promised to encourage and prosper them, but they needed to understand that activities in the temple would not clean up their sin. Only repentance and obedience could do that. if we insist on harboring wrong attitudes and sins or unmaintaining close relationships with sinful people, we will be defiled. Holy living will come only when we are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. Amen. So after the exact date and the occasion were given, in verse 10, Haggai challenged the people by an appeal to the law, called upon them to consider its application, and announced God's grace upon the nation. He challenged the people by an appeal to the law in verses 11 through 13. Since the people were discontented because they had not become prosperous after several months of faithfulness to Jehovah, Haggai challenged them to ask two questions of the priests. The first question was, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his shirt do touch bread or porridge or wine or oil or any food, shall it become holy? Verse 11 in the ASV. The priest's answer was no. This had to do with the ceremonial law. And in effect, the question was, can the holy make the unholy? It could not. The second question was in verse 13 in the ASV Bible. If one that is unclean by reason of a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? In other words, can the unholy make the holy unholy? The priest answered, it shall be unclean. Two principles emerge. Holiness in people is not communicable. Pollution in people is communicable. He called upon the nation to appear these principles to themselves. The prophet said in verse 14 in the ASV Bible, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith Jehovah, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Amen. Verse 14, the call is twofold. In verses 15 through 17, the people were asked to consider the 15th year they had neglected building God's house. The ground and its produce had been affected through their sin. Pollution had been communicated. In verses 18 through 19, the people were asked to consider 3 months during which they had been in harmony with God. Adversity had continued for them. It was a case of holiness uncommunicated. He announced God's grace upon the nation. This sermon ends, from this day will I bless you, in verse 19. These are words of infallible grace. All that we receive through God's grace. Amen. In chapter 2 of Haggai, verses 20 through 23, the fourth sermon. As with the former sermon, the date and the event were given in verse 20. This fourth message is different, however, in that it is addressed to one individual, Zerubbabel. Here God, through his prophet, revealed a program. Two things were revealed about it. The plan was this, in verse 21, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Everything that follows is included in this great initiative utterance, God, and reaffirm the plan he spoke of in the second sermon. He was going to disturb the universe. The purpose was both destructive and constructive in verses 22 through 23. God would overthrow the throne of kingdoms. This refers to Satan's throne. Amen. God would destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nation. This second result seems out of the first. Stems out of the first. The destruction of the chariots and those that ride in them simply means that militarism would destroy militarism. The constructive purpose concerns Zerubbabel. In that day will I take thee and will make thee as a singer. For I have chosen thee, since he said, in that day. This could not mean while Zerubbabel was alive. This reference is to the one who should come through the line of David, David's great son. He who disturbed the heavens and the earth will yet again break into the earth's history. For he who came comes. Amen. And my conclusion of this message is the moral of the prophecy of Haggai is this. When in disrepair through disaster or neglect, a church building must be rebuilt to save the whole life of the community from demoralization and to point it toward its destiny. I hope and pray that this message truly was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. To further your Christian walk. And my benediction for this evening is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, from the New King James Version, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Wonderful evening. We love you and thank you again for listening to Pray One for Another. To God be the glory. Shalom and have a wonderful weekend and happy Sabbath to all of our communities that celebrate Sabbath on Saturdays and for those who celebrate on Sunday. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on that note, I will leave out on All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. Praise God.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.